Welcome to worship, Belfair Community Church. It is good to be together, as always. Glad you are here. As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, would you hear these words from 1 Chronicles 16? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all people. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods, for all the gods of peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord is King. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Would you pray with me? And so, living God, it is our joy to join the trees of the forest and the waters and the seas and the great mountains in declaring how majestic is your name. For everything else that everyone else tries to praise and tries to worship, when it comes down to it, all the other things are really just idols. You alone, O God, our creator. You alone, our sustainer. You alone, O God, are the lover of our souls. You alone are worthy of our praise, of our lives. You're worthy of the best gifts that our hearts know to bring to you this morning. You are worthy, for you, O Lord, you are King of heaven and earth. You are King of our lives. And so this morning, we come to this place. We step away from a million other things we could be doing. We come to this place because we want to lift up your name. We want to declare as loud as we can how good and how great you are. And Lord, as we do that in this place, would you help us be so aware of your presence in our midst? And with this awareness of your presence, would you encourage every heart that's discouraged? Would you speak courage and peace into places of fear? Would you speak love into those places where we doubt? Father, would you give us the things our hearts need most of all, and that is just more and more of our Jesus. We're here to encounter you, O Lord. Let that happen in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all their multitude. And now, living God, the one whose breath brought humankind to life, would you breathe on us in this place this morning? Awaken in us all of those places that have fallen asleep. Resurrect in us those places that feel good as dead. Restore in us the joy of what it means to be a people made in your likeness, your special creation of whom you cherish. God, we turn to your word this morning not because we need more head knowledge about you. Well, there's lots of ways to get that don't require waking up early on a Sunday. We turn to your word in community this morning because we want to encounter you through your word, O God, to continue to be changed by the truth of who you are and then who we are as your people. And so our hearts are open, our ears are open, O Lord. Would your spirit move freely in this place, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes valuable things get tossed in the trash. In 1991, bargain hunter Terry Horton was pursuing a San Bernardino thrift store for a gift for a friend, and she found a large canvas covered in paint drips and splatters. And though she didn't really like it much, she thought it was ugly, she paid $5 for the painting. Gave it to her friend. Turns out her friend thought it was ugly too. And so they put it in a garage sale. There was an art teacher that came to that garage sale, said, "You know, I think that might be a Jackson Pollock." And she said, "Who the expletive is Jackson Pollock?" Became the title of the painting. It turns out that she got $50 million for this $5 painting. When browsing a garage sale nearly two decades ago, commercial artist Rick Norsegian brought two boxes of glass plate photography negatives for $45, simply because he was drawn to the images of Yosemite, where he once worked. After researching, he began to realize that these negatives might be the work of famed landscape photographer Ansel Adams, and they were. Norsegian's expected to earn approximately $200 million for the sales of these prints that he got in a garage sale. In France, there was a painting found in a sealed up attic of an old chateau that had been long forgotten. When it came down and the dust got blown off, they attributed it to Caravaggio, valued at $136 million. Sometimes valuable things get hung in garages and sealed up in attics and thrown in donation piles because somewhere along the way, people forget where they come from. Somewhere along the way, the story gets lost of what this thing really is. Not just splatter paint, but this is a masterpiece. And when that happens, it takes someone to recognize the fingerprints of the artist, to come along and to speak aloud the worth of that item, to get it out of that garage, down from that attic and get it put back on display where it is treated with the most tender of care.
Amen. Amen.
And sometimes the valuable things that get tossed aside aren't things at all, are they? But people. The master artist is forgotten in the process. Not Jackson Pollock or Caravaggio, but God himself. And God's children are the ones who are called to walk this earth with eyes and hearts wide open, looking for the fingerprints of this God on every single person, especially on those who have been tossed aside. The people of God are those who are willing to speak into the lives of people and say, wait a second, wait, I think there's more here than meets the eye. You see that signature on him? See that signature on her? This is the work of a master. This one is more valuable than we know. Takes us back to our origin story. We heard it last week, but in case our memories fail us, it's okay to hear our origin story again and again and again. It's the story of creation, and you know how the story goes. God spoke, and God said, let there be heaven, let there be earth, let there be light, let there be day, let there be night, let there be water, let there be land, let there be animals, let there be birds, let there be fish. And after all this, God said, oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. But after all these days of creation, still there was something that was missing. And God said to God's self, let us create something in our image to be like us. And so male and female, God created humankind in his image. And then looking over all he had done, the master artist God then said, oh, now this is very, very good. You see, God's fingerprints are on all of creation, but humans carry within ourselves even more than just God's fingerprints. We have God's breath in our lungs. The spirit of God's heart beats with our own hearts. God shares with us his beauty and his creativity and his wisdom and his loving kindness and his compassion, his very character. He's made his children to be like him. And he's released them into the world to reflect the wonders of the artist behind it all to one and all. Because humans are made in God's likeness. Because we are made to be the masterpiece of the greatest artist who will ever live. Humans have inherent dignity because God has dignity. And God has made us to especially be like him. Dignity. What's that word mean? It means being worthy of honor or respect. We say, you got to earn my respect. Dignity means you're worthy already of honor and respect. You see, no one in this room, I don't think, questions if the living God is worthy of honor and respect. He is supremely worthy of these things, is he not? We honor God. We honor God as creator and sustainer of all. We respect God because God is wise and God is righteous and God is just. We honor God because God is all powerful and God is all knowing and God is all present and God is all loving. We respect God for God is majestic and God is holy and God is pure and God is true. We honor God because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and somehow God knows the number of hairs on my head. We respect God because his anger lasts for a moment, but his steadfast love endures forever. We honor God because we know that there will be a real time when every knee from every tribe and tongue, from every generation that has ever lived, will bow before his throne. We respect God, for He is faithful and He is kind. God will never be tossed out. God will never be set aside. God will never be put in the donation pile to hang in a garage somewhere. God is the center of everything here on earth and in heaven today and for eternity. Our God is worthy of honor and respect. Dignity, the core of who He is. And we can say amen and amen to that. That's good, and that's the easy part. That's the easy part. Because when God said, let's make something to be like us, and when God grabbed a handful of dirt and started to mold it together with His very own hands, and when God knelt down and breathed His very own breath into those lungs and saw humankind come to life, then this part of creation was now immediately worthy of honor and respect too. For it was the masterpiece of the artist of all artists. That we have the imago Dei, the image of God on us, in us, all over us, means that we carry within us dignity. All of us worthy of honor and respect. God showed how this should look, showed it first, by treating humankind with dignity from the get-go. Right off the bat, God is willing to claim that this creation is made as the one to be like Him. He's willing to say in that first moment, there with me, this is my specialty. When you dare to claim someone as your own, you uphold their God-given dignity. God then blesses humanity there in verse 28, blesses them. To give a blessing means that God gives His favor. He gives His love. He gives His delight. Right off the bat, God cherishes humans. And did you notice in verse 28, when it says God blessed them, what have they done up to this point? Nothing. Like, open their eyes. They've done nothing. God blesses them before they have planted a single plant, before they have named an animal, done a thing. God blesses them just for who they are. Some of us in this room didn't grow up in homes where we received very many blessings. Some of you had to earn your parents' approval from day one. You had to be good enough to make them proud enough. Some of you were made to feel like you were just an afterthought. Not the child that they dreamed of, but the one that they surprised them. The one they got stuck with. Some of you were made to feel like you were more in the way than you were a gift to be around. You were told to be seen, but not heard. And when we grow up in these places, what happens is we begin to spend the rest of our lives trying to find these blessings that our hearts desperately need. We look to achievement and we work our tails off, not just to be good, but to be the best. So we can hear just someone say that they're proud of us. And we become people pleasers in relationships, so afraid that we won't be loved just for being us. So we wear ourselves ragged, trying to keep everyone else happy until we are totally empty and got nothing to give. We see others as the competition. If they do better than us, then they're going to be loved more than us, and they're going to get the blessing that we don't get, and there's only a little bit of blessing to go around. You see, this blessing stuff, when we don't get it when we are young, we begin to chase after it until we are old and dog tired. But my weary friends who are in this room, chase no more. Because the day God breathed His breath into your lungs, He showered you with His blessing. He said, look at this one I created to be like me. Isn't he a masterpiece? Isn't she wonderful? I already cherish him. I am already so in love with her. This one I delight in. Before they have done anything, I am simply in awe. Can you know that the God of the universe spoke this over your life? God gives humans dignity. He says we are worthy of honor and respect when he blesses us, each and every one. Not a one of us in this room was an afterthought to God. God wanted us here. Excuse me. Do you know what a miracle it is that you are here? Have you ever thought about that? The probability of you being born, looking at what it took for your mom and your dad to come together at just the right time, with just the right you know what from him and just the right from her, overcoming all the obstacles it took for these two little microscopic things to come together at the right place, right time, to begin your life as it is. Do you know what scientists say the probability is of it happening? 1 in 400 trillion. That means that there were 399,999,999,999 reasons you shouldn't be here. But the living God wanted you here now. Not an afterthought in the least. Rather, a planned miracle. The master artist chose you, chose us for his masterpiece. And that means that you are never in the way, and that you are never too annoying to him, that you are never forgotten, that he's never under-impressed when he looks at you. God's first words to humankind were words of blessing. Wow. Wow, I just love what I have made now more than I've loved any of my creation before. This one especially I cherish. And my friends, when we start to see God's blessing on us, we start to see God's blessing on others too. And when we join God in blessing each other and proclaiming the beauty of God that we see in one another, we give each other the gift of dignity of which we are all worthy to receive because God said so. Have you told someone lately how you see God in them? Speak dignity into their lives. Try it. It's fun. It's fun. God gave dignity to humans when he trusted them with a huge responsibility. Caring for his beloved creation. Tending the garden. Naming the animals. To trust someone with something that is important to you, that gives them dignity. When you actually let someone help you, that gives them dignity. When you dare to share your heart with another, dignity is there. You see, God cherishes us enough to actually let us work with him, to be responsible for this world that he loves. He could take care of it all by himself. He loves us enough to share the task. God sees us as worthy of honor and respect. Do you see yourself the same way? Don't you tear down God's masterpiece. Like the kid said, that hurts his heart. That's you. It breaks the artist's heart when we diss his very best creation. God gives humans dignity when he looks at what he's done and he says, now this is very good. before they've done a thing. Again, just the nature of who they are. God says, very good. Do you see other people first as very bad or very good? And sure, we get broken along the way. We all make bad choices. We do hurtful things. But there is no amount of guilt or shame or failure that can take away what the Creator first said about us, His most prized creation. Now this is good. No, I take it back. Now this is very good. God's goodness is still in us, my friends. It's still all over us. Ever since Guy and I have had our little guy, Miles, he's almost 7 months, I can't believe it. Guy talks about how when he goes around town and wherever he goes and he sees people, that he may not have seen just 7 months ago, people who are struggling, people who are disheveled, people who just look different from him. He says, I can't help, but with every person I see the face of our little baby. He's like, they were all just somebody's little baby at one point. Oh, they were all, everything was all just very, very good. And somewhere along the way, things get broken. But that's not the beginning of the story. The beginning is this is very, very good. I don't care how many people have told you that you're bad, or that you're mean, or that you're selfish, or that you're broken. When God looks on His children, He says, now I made that one very good. And when the story is said and done, what will remain is very good. When you look at yourself in the mirror and name what's good for yourself, you see what's good. You speak the dignity that God has already spoken over you into you. And when you look at others and refuse to walk away until you can see what is good, what is very good, you share the gift of dignity just the same, just like it was always supposed to be. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus walked the earth, so much of His ministry was all about giving people, especially people who had been tossed aside, giving them back their God-given dignity. Have you noticed that? All over the place. As He walks about, He is reminding everyone all the time that everyone is worthy of honor and respect because we are all made in God's image just the same. Jesus touched the lepers, those who were literally tossed out of their homes and made to live in exile. And as He touched them, He said, you do not disgust me. With His touch, Jesus is saying, this right here is God's masterpiece, and it is worthy of being held close. Sometimes human touch is all it takes to give someone back their dignity. Research says that human beings need 10 meaningful touches every day to maintain well-being. 10. 8 for maintenance, 12 for growth. Some of our widows and widowers don't get 10 in a week. We need 10 a day. Who's Jesus asking you to embrace? Someone who hasn't felt human touch in too long. Touch, dignity, restored. Jesus approached a demon-possessed man who was out of his mind. He was living in the tombs and he was naked and he had chains hanging from his feet and his back was torn up because he had been beating himself with his very own chains. And no surprise to us, everyone just avoided this man altogether. May as well have been thrown aside, put in a donation pile, hung in a garage, garbage. You know what Jesus did? He walked right up to this man and he said, what's your name? I love it. Jesus refused to let him just be the label that society had given him. He wasn't just mentally ill. He wasn't just an addict. He wasn't just possessed. He wasn't just beyond prepare. He wasn't just the dregs of society. Jesus said, what is your name? And with that question, someone loved him enough to care about his name. Jesus knew that somewhere behind these masks is one who is good, one who is very good. What's your name? Dignity restored. You see someone that no one else is seeing. You walk towards them and you ask their name. Sometimes that's all it takes to help someone find their dignity. Who's Jesus asking you to see beyond the labels these days? Amen. Don't call him a tweaker. I hate that. Don't call him a maniac, a lunatic, whatever you want to call him. That's where dignity gets stolen from someone made in the image of God. Dare to know their name. Dare to get close. Dare to hear their story. Dignity restored, just how it's supposed to be. Jesus ate with those who were always left off the invite list. Notice that? Prostitutes, tax collectors, Pharisees. No one wants them at their dinner party. They are lame. Sinners. Those who were too dirty or too crooked or too legalistic or too wild. No one was too anything for Jesus to sit down with and say, hey, would you pass the potatoes? No one. You see, when we feel too clean for someone or too cool for someone or too smart for someone or too fun for someone or too wealthy for someone or too anything that says they don't fit at my table because they're not fill in the blank enough, whatever it might be, we take the dignity away from the one that God said, isn't she beautiful? Set the table. Dignity restored. Who's the last person you want at your table this week? I dare you to invite them and be nice to them. Jesus did. Dignity restored. Jesus took the time to play with children in a society that had no time for children. Dignity restored. Children. The ones in this very church, do you know them? Do you play with them? You're not too old to play with children. Do you laugh with them? Do you have time for them? Every time you take time for a child, you're sharing the gift of dignity that we're all made for. Jesus said, when you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the prisoner and house the homeless, you do it for me, he said. What you do for the ones who are most in need, you do for Jesus. Just think how differently we would see people if we could actually visibly see Jesus standing right next to them all the time. What if on the news, those images that we get of these caravans of people coming up from the south, what if we saw Jesus walking right in the middle of that caravan with his backpack on? Oh boy, would we talk different about them. What if the ones who walk the sidewalks in our own town, what if as we pass by them, we could see Jesus right next to them, his arm around them, laughing, striking up a conversation. Oh my goodness, the things that we call them, oh, we would see them so differently, would we not? What if at the restaurant? What if when our waitress or waiter came up to serve us, there was Jesus right next to them? Just beaming at how much he loved them. We tip really well, will we not? there's no cheapos when Jesus is standing right there. What if he stood next to the cashier at Safeway? Oh man, we would be so patient when they're scanning our things too slowly, wouldn't we? It's okay, I've got all day, Jesus. What if we just saw Jesus next to everyone? Next to our coworkers? Our children, our neighbors, strangers. Imagine how much more patient we would be with each other. Imagine how much we would go out of our way to be kind and generous, dignity restored. Here's the thing, you don't have to just imagine it, because Jesus says he is right there. Whatever you do for them, he says, you do for me. What you do for one another, especially for those who are hurting and tossed aside, he says, you do it for me. I'm right there. He is right there with them, with us. Imago Dei, Emmanuel. Dare to see it in everyone. Dignity restored. Restored. When we treat others as if Jesus is right there with them, in them, as if they are the presence of Christ in our midst, we share the gift of dignity. One thing our world needs more of these days is people giving one another the gift of dignity, honor, and respect more and more. We are so quick to jump on people. Oh, we are so quick to label people. We are so quick to gossip about people. We are quick to turn the volume up when the news is telling of someone's failure. Wait, rewind that. I don't want to hear that part again. We're quick to laugh at people, to name call people, quick to point fingers and ridicule people. We are a society that is just so hard on people. And our politicians don't help, do they? It's those voices that we're hearing. We're just hard on people. Like those multi-million dollar paintings that got thrown aside because someone somewhere along the way forgot where they came from. We do it with each other. The master whose fingerprints are all over them. When we deal with each other too often, when we deal with each other so harshly, too often we are forgetting that we are dealing with the most valuable things, God's most precious creation. The things he put on this earth to say, look, look how beautiful I am. He wants us to say, ah, not who I am. We must remember that every person on this planet has the fingerprints of God all over them. Your neighbor, your boss, the guy who stole your power tools, the politician that you're not voting for. That's hard, right? The professional athlete who lost the game for your team. The fingerprints of God are on all of them. And when we treat them like dirt, we are treating their creator the same way. When we disrespect them, we are disrespecting him. And when we say they are not worthy of our kindness, we are saying God is not worthy of our kindness. And when we say we are too good for them, we are saying we are too good for him. The world needs some people to see God's fingerprints all over his children. Some people who are unwilling to let any get tossed aside and forgotten. The world needs some people who are determined to remember the story of how they were made very good. The world needs some people courageous enough to proclaim the truth of who made them, the master artist, God himself. The world needs some people loving enough to declare, oh, don't give up on that one. That one is worth more than millions. That one is worthy of honor and respect. That one is a child of the living God, and by gosh, I will treat them as such. Sometimes that starts by treating myself as such. Children of God, when you see a child of God this week, be it in the mirror or as you're out and about, how about we just treat them as such? Dignity restored. Would you pray with me? Oh God, who are we that you would be mindful of us? Who are we that you would dare to make us in your likeness, to carry your beauty, your grace, your love, your compassion on this earth? Oh, let us remember this morning who we really are, oh God. Very, very good, because you made us and you're very good. beloved, cherished children of the living God, chosen to be here at this time to know you and to reflect your goodness. And oh God, open our eyes and our hearts to see your fingerprints all over every person that we're going to encounter this week. And would you give us the courage to let them know what we see, the beauty that we see seeping out of them? And as we do, could we join you, oh God, in sharing the gift of dignity to one and to all? What a fun week it's going to be. What a fun week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.